The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Now, Tom, are you still writing reviews for Amazon?
I am not on their official program anymore, but I still write them whenever I see something that I do or don't like.
Well, it got to be a lot of work for you, I know, because I would go to buy something sometimes and I'd be reading the reviews. I'm like, that's Tom.
Well, I actually quit the program because it got to the point where they were offering junk all the time. Oh, it was like imported crap from China, and you would get it. You would have to pay tax on it, and then it would turn out to be just something that was junk. And so you basically ended up with a lot of junk and owing money at the end of the year on income taxes, so I stopped.
Well, when it comes to Gen Z, they trust customer reviews over influencers for brand credibility. So...
And to me, when I see the Amazon Vine little thing where it says it's a Vine review, I ignore it because I'm like, I feel like you were kind of paid off. You were influenced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is like if you were on Vine, which I was, and you got something that was a piece of junk, you were annoyed by it. You still wrote a bad review, and there was no penalty for writing bad reviews. Now, I do think some of the people in the program would sometimes just write a quick review that wasn't very good just to get their thing out of the way. But what I would try to do when I did mine is take lots of pictures.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the more useful things is to see what does it really look like when it gets there.
I like the videos, too, when they actually use the product to see, okay, does this actually work? And what does it look like as it does work? But most Gen Zers, they say that customer reviews, that's the most credible influence for them when it comes to buying something.
I would go a step further. I don't trust a lot of customer reviews either. You have to be very good at weeding out which ones were too stupid to use the product and are falsely blaming it, or the ones who are somehow getting paid, because a lot of times these companies will send people free stuff outside of Amazon's rules, and then they will, you know, or they get a coupon after they buy it or something, and they end up reviewing it positively.
That's with any reviews. I read a lot of restaurant reviews, and you can tell if they are friends with the owner. That's the way it's written.
Okay, well, they say independent research and expert opinions tied for second place when it comes to brand credibility. And then they say advertising. So brands that advertise their products and social media, they were lower on the list.
That's because social media sold out quickly.
Yeah.
Those guys, first of all, a lot of them didn't have much money anyway. So if they were getting a free, phone or TV or whatever, they were going to give it a good review because they were super excited to get that.
Yeah. And then they say influencers and content like that from the influencers ranked one of the worst things on the list. So if an influencer is on there, especially on their social media account, trying to sell you something, that was low. And then PR stunts and branded campaigns were least trusted with people buying stuff.
There are so many things, especially on Instagram, where I'll watch a reel and I'm like, oh, this is really good information. And I scroll down and it says, comment book and I'll send you my book. And I'm like, you almost got me.
Yeah. I saw a guy jump out of an airplane and I'm like, okay, without a parachute or something. And so I watch it for like almost 45 seconds, and then all of a sudden it's a real estate commercial or something different. I don't know what commercial it was at this point because I was so upset.
Should have been life insurance.
Yeah, but I'm like, I thought, man, how's he going to, it says the best place to land if you fall out of an airplane or something like that.
It's good insurance.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a big PR thing going on, and I'm like, that was just clickbait.
Yeah.
So I wasted 45 seconds on, a commercial.
Yeah.
They're getting creative.
Yeah, I guess they are. Yeah.
Which props to that. I appreciate the creativity because a lot of people are like, even if it's bad, it'll stick in your head, so it's good enough. And so if they try, I like it. But at the same time, I'm like, you're just trying to sell me something.
But this is not necessarily advertising, but I've noticed with like even Reels now, the guy will come on and say, hey, if someone says this, you'll know they are this certain personality. And they'll only play 15 seconds of the video. And you have to go to the like the person's website to watch the full interview. Mm. And it'll be like in 15-minute segments over that. And I'm like, because they want to get more hits.
And I just read that a lot of those interviews on online where it's like, oh, professional doctor or therapist or whatever, a lot of them are AI. It's not even real interviews.
Yeah, you can tell with the lip sync sometimes, I think.
No, I cannot.
Yeah.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
We teased Tori about her breakfast. She brings in overnight oats a lot of times, and they look like vomit in a jar.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. But honestly, if you just would put it in a different container, it would help us because it's a mason jar that you can see through, and it looks disgusting.
I love that I need to change the jar to which I eat so that you guys can feel more comfortable.
Well, quite frankly, you're going to see the same thing here in the studio if you don't.
Well, I'll just show it to you as I eat then.
Just less chunky.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if I wore mesh clothes to work, you would probably want me to wear something a little bit
the less. The only thing similar is the color of the oats being pale and you also being pale.
And chunky.
Right. Yeah.
And making you want to vomit. So you might think about that.
Enjoy breakfast.
Apparently, you're not the craziest person out there, though. We're apparently into this one-year-long protein craze in America.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about how to get as much protein as possible.
Protein.
And they are hyping a new trend on TikTok now where people are adding protein to their coffee.
Oh.
And they're doing it in an unusual way.
Oh, no, like T-bone steak with your eggs and coffee? Or
now, see, that's how I would do it.
Sausage patties.
You can just dip your steak right in your coffee. It's like a donut.
I wouldn't do that. But they are hyping a trend where you add protein to your morning routine by dumping yogurt in your coffee.
No.
Some people are even doing it with flavored yogurts. Which the only flavors I could see possibly working would be vanilla or caramel. Otherwise, that's going to be gross.
Wouldn't it curdle? Because your coffee's hot and the yogurt's cold.
Now, I think what you could do, you can buy those protein shakes, and some of those are coffee flavored, and you could put those in there because they're like 30 grams of protein.
I've done that, and I've done it with the powder, too, and it works okay. Powder's not as
good. See, I don't want my coffee to be healthy. I mean, you know.
Well, it kind of is anyway.
Well, I mean.
They say coffee's good for you. It cuts down on colon cancer and stuff like that.
But I need it for the caffeine. So,
well, this guy named Jordan Bernstein is a content creator and gym bro, and his original recipe was cold brew and Greek yogurt mixed with coconut water. He's since added salt and 12 shakes of cinnamon, but he's not the only one to have ever tried this. There's a Vietnamese drink that has coffee and yogurt, which has been around for a long time. But one person basically said, why don't you just drink the coffee and have the yogurt on the side?
There you go.
I mean, that seems like it would be better, you know?
Because your coworkers make fun of you. I have yogurt in my overnight oats, and y'all still make fun of me.
Okay, that's not why we're making fun of you. If you ate yogurt and you drank coffee, none of us would make fun of you for that.
That's what I do. I just add some oats and other things that don't look as delicious.
What's the green color?
That's what happens after you eat it.
Well, I personally don't know that I would want to try this, but I would not be against making Cato try it.
I'll try it.
For Torture Tuesday.
I mean, it doesn't sound like it's nasty. It's just something
what if it's strawberry?
But you know, back in a while back, people were putting butter in their coffee.
Now, that doesn't sound as bad.
That sounds worse to me than yogurt.
Really?
Because yogurt's like a cream.
How about cottage cheese in your coffee?
I don't even eat cottage
cheese. Yeah, that would be good and chunky and
only
nasty.
Only a layer of lasagna. That's how I eat my cottage
cheese. Okay, lasagna in your coffee. The Italian flavor.
I don't know, man. It seems like people go to extreme measures to try to do something that could be done so easily without being weird.
I just don't understand the sudden obsession with protein. Everyone, I mean, every single meal I've got a girlfriend, she'll text and she'll be like, protein pasta, protein. I'm like, maybe I'm going to die young because I don't get enough protein.
Well, it was collagen before that. there's always some magic thing people are going to add to their diet that's going to make them live forever, and no one else is going to get it. And the truth is, it's more, I don't know if you've ever seen the Back to the Future when they come back from way in the future and they've got the DeLorean, and now instead of needing the gigawatts of power and all, they just pour garbage into it, and it makes it. Our human bodies are kind of that way.
Right.
You could pour a lot of different things into our mouths, and it'll turn it into energy and poop.
Yeah.
We're not as picky as it seems.
Uh-huh. Where do you get the energy part?
Well, that's I'm still working
part
on
down.
That.
It's the energy
protein, Cato, protein.
Tired of those third-degree burns from scorching coffee? Then grab a cup of the coldest hot Java available. Gas Station Coffee.
Sounds good. And I won't get burned?
You'll never get burned because Gas Station Coffee is always served at a tepid 68 degrees.
Can I get creamer?
Yes, but be warned, Gas Station Creamer is actually warmer than Gas Station Coffee.
Mmm, you can really smell the curdling. How about a stirrer?
Who needs a coffee stirrer when you can use a random mustard-covered fork?
Hey, the lid won't fit my cup.
At gas stations, we never have the right size lids for any of our cups. But who needs lids? Our Joe is so lukewarm, you can dump an entire gallon on your lap.
Hey! Wow, you're right!
Gas Station Coffee. Sure, it's gross, but you won't need skin grafts.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, Tori, how are your dance moves coming along?
I mean, depends on who you ask. I think they're great. My neighbors think otherwise.
Okay. Were you dancing out in the driveway?
What are you talking about? Was she dancing right now? Why do you ask her that?
Because a team of scientists actually took the time to figure out the most attractive and hottest dance moves for women.
Okay.
Let's I hope it's making pizza. Because I'm pretty good at that.
Making pizza. Okay. Yeah.
I'm good at the one where you look like a sprinkler and you go,
classic.
Thank you. I will say I can raise my hands in the air like I just don't care pretty well, too.
But what if you do care?
You just don't raise them as high.
Okay. So this is the science behind looking more attractive when the girls dance. This one's an easy one. Swing your hips, they say. The guys that were evaluating the dancing, they would stare longer when the woman was swinging her hips, I guess, you know.
Oh, well, if they do it like that, it might be because they're going to call the paramedics.
Well, I'm doing like a hula hoop dance, you know, if you do the hula hoop. Yeah.
Don't do that one.
At least not like that.
Yeah. Don't be too symmetrical or repetitive with your arm and body movements because you look too much like a robot when you do that, so...
Well, unless you're doing the robot.
Okay. Well, all these are old, though. I mean, if someone was really doing the robot or doing the sprinkler on the dance floor, don't you think people would be like in a circle, clapping their hands, making fun of that person?
Yeah, but they get to rest. Let them dance for a little bit while you rest.
So you're saying you need a break when you're on the dance floor? It's like, I'm just worn out. I need to go take a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ever been excited for the slow song? You're like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Go sit down.
You're sitting there and you're breathing heavy in each other's ear. And it's not because, you know.
Oh, my.
It's because you're just tired.
You're like, I'm going to lay my head on your shoulder.
Wake me up after the slow song's over. And then they say, carry yourself confidently. The dancers who got the worst rankings in the study were the ones who looked kind of shy or insecure when they were dancing.
That's a double-edged sword. Sometimes the people who are confident are the ones making the biggest fools of themselves.
Well, okay. Yeah.
I think you just need to be confident.
That's why when I dance, I'll try to get in the middle of the dance floor so no one can really see me on the outside of the dance floor.
Okay.
But I've also started the dance floor.
It is important, though, what place you are and on the dance floor.
Yeah, because if you're on the outside where people sitting down can see you, they're all watching the dancers and judging them.
Exactly. They're
so
sitting there.
I try to just maneuver my way into the middle.
And no one can really see you except the people dancing.
Right, which they're not paying attention.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, yes.
I think that is very...
You should have said that, Cato.
So if you do all this, so swing your hips, don't be too symmetrical, or repetitive with your arm movement and body movement, and carry yourself confidently, not like that. Tori?
I'm making pizza, man. Leave me alone.
I'm eating it.
All right.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, I spent an hour or two this weekend having a long, deep conversation with AI about the beginning of the universe.
Wow.
I know that's kind of weird.
You really need friends.
I have one. His name is Gemini. But it was interesting because it started off with some questions about Adam and Eve that I had from church, and then it evolved and morphed into this weird long conversation, and it ended up with my restless leg syndrome. Oh. It was like a conversation you would have with a person. It just meandered through all these topics. Mm. But people are starting to use AI in different ways. And while I've not set out to make it my best friend, it seems like it wants to be friends with me.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, because it'll even talk, like when I got done with that conversation, it referenced stuff we talked about 2 weeks ago. Well, I hope you get this taken care of. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of freaky, but kind of cool too, because it likes me. But there's another thing they've come up with for AI to do, and this may be informative for all of us. They have been working on this archaeological exhibit. It's a chunk of carved limestone in a Dutch museum, and they weren't sure what it was. So they fed it into AI, and the AI came back with a startlingly simple answer. It looks like it was a game board. Hmm. They figured out it looked like one of those blocking type games where you try to trap the opponent's pieces until they can no longer move. Or maybe an easier reference is kind of like those triangle things you play at Cracker Barrel where you move the golf tees. Hmm. And it was one of those where you move the pieces around and in this case tried to block them into a box. Hmm. And it actually gave them the rules, told them how it was probably played, and it ended up making sense whenever they looked at everything. They're saying now they'll be able to possibly take AI into museums and ask it questions about stuff that we aren't sure about, and it may give us better answers than we've come up with on our own.
Yeah, it's going to be like, so that actually wasn't painted by Da Vinci?
Yeah.
That's a knockoff.
It's a knockoff. Or they'll say, no, that thing was not used to pick up dog poop. It was actually how they served their food or something weird.
And yes, the Mona Lisa is a man.
Or maybe it'll just say, yes, the Mona Lisa is actually an average piece of work and not the greatest piece of art on earth.
It's just average, like the Sistine Chapel.
No,
Sistine Chapel.
It's just a painted ceiling in a small church that you can't take pictures
in. But you think about, I mean,
you were excited about the statue
laying,
of David.
Let me finish. Laying on his back, doing all that artwork on the ceiling. And it was like, it ain't like your kid doing something on the refrigerator.
Laying down on the job. What a bum.
Think about it, too. He was drawing this huge thing, but he was actually only a few feet and could only see the little part he was working on each time.
Yeah,
it is pretty amazing.
Artists are amazing.
I agree with that. Yeah. It's like, I can't do that. Mine are stick figures.
Yeah.
But that is definitely a talent and a skill that some people have and others don't. And they claim they can teach you, but I don't think my mind will ever work that way.
But I'll never forget Cato walking out of the Sistine Chapel in Italy and saying, it's overrated.
He's not wrong. I mean, when you go, it's underwhelming. For example, if you ever go to Paris and see the Eiffel Tower, my parents wanted to see that. I went with them on vacation, and I was like, this is going to be so stupid. I've seen a million pictures of the Eiffel Tower. I know what it looks like. When you get there, its size is so large that you are impressed. It's just overwhelmingly huge.
That's one of the biggest tourist traps in the world.
It is, but it's kind of cool.
It is. I've been to the Eiffel Tower in Vegas.
That's a little bit smaller.
A lot smaller.
Yeah.
But with AI, they're going to start taking in and trying to solve some of these mysteries that we have never been able to solve. They're saying maybe they could even solve the Rosetta Stone with it.
But who's feeding this AI that information? Where is it coming from?
So what you mean, the original information?
Like about this board game. So it had to know something about board games.
Well, here's the thing with AI. It's programmed with pretty much all the knowledge of humanity that they could put in.
Well, that's scary.
Right. So that's why it's so good for medical. So you go to your doctor and he doesn't know what's wrong with you because he has a limited amount of knowledge of all the medical stuff. But AI has every medical text ever written and can access them all at once.
You say it could solve the Rosetta Stone, but I thought they did that because that's that language course, right? Rosetta Stone?
Yeah.
What's the Rosetta Stone?
So I'm not 100% archaeologically on this, but I believe it was a stone with all these characters and letters and crap, and they've never been able to decipher. And I may have gotten this wrong. It could also be the way that you do actually the code that tells you what each letter means, but it's basically, the goal with that is to try to be able to interpret these ancient languages that you don't know how to interpret right now.
I thought they interpret that.
I didn't understand what he just said.
I know.
I didn't either.
I need AI for that one. How about Stonehenge? Then we could figure out if aliens really did make Stonehenge.
That's just some contractor that quit on the job.
Cato was unimpressed.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
More texting accidents are happening while people are on the treadmill.
Huh.
They're texting and treadmilling at the same time. Now, some of the safer things to do on the treadmill, you can listen to music and run. That works. Even watching TV is safer than texting on a treadmill. You can pant or try to catch your breath while you're on a treadmill.
Okay.
You can also daydream. That's safer while you're on a treadmill. But you know what? Don't be a talker. Don't be a treadmill talker, because I can't carry on a conversation while I'm trying to get a little exercise in. And how are you doing that, by the way?
I was talking to a friend who was just out in the neighborhood walking, and I was talking to her once, and all of a sudden it got quiet.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And she didn't say anything. I'm like, tap the phone once if you're still alive. She starts laughing. She goes, I can't breathe.
I used to do that. When I was dating my wife, we would go to Gold's Gym, and we did all these exercise machines. But the treadmill killed me.
Yeah.
And so she'd be chatting away, and I'd be just like, oh, yeah, please, I'm going to die right here on this treadmill at this instant. And it worked for her because she just liked to talk, and it didn't bother her that I wasn't saying anything back.
And that's my thing. I'm like, you go right ahead. I'm going to be over here trying to catch my breath.
Yeah.
But you talk, I'm listening.
Well, a lot of people are texting now on the treadmill, causing a lot of injuries.
Well, yeah, because it's hard to text and walk.
And usually your biggest risk is running into something. With a treadmill, you don't have that to worry about.
Yeah, but you got to kind of stay in a straight line, or you'll get on the edge, and all of a sudden you'll hit that edge, and you'll go tumbling.
Or sometimes you walk a little too fast, and you hit that front part, and it goes,
there we go. Well, and I don't think we needed a scientist for this, but scientists, they recruited young people to text and walk under observation along an 18-foot-long walkway that contained a board a few inches high for them to step up onto this box.
Can you imagine the legal documents they had to sign before they did this?
Right, I know.
You cannot sue us.
They navigated the walkway 12 times each without their phone, while talking on their phone, while reading a text, and while writing a sentence, like texting. So the outcome was people took more than twice as long to get from one end to the walkway to the other when they were writing a text. So that was 67% longer than when they were reading a text. So typing the text is the one that's the most complicated for them. They can read the text pretty well. And then talking on the phone, interestingly enough, was somewhere between the two. And then taking people 83% longer to cross the walkway than the control condition. Sorry.
Huh?
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting here trying. I'm not even walking, y'all.
I know.
So talking on the phone, they say it was somewhere between the two. And that took a little bit long time as well. But walkers tended to use cautious stepping strategy is what they call it, taking shorter strides and lifting their feet higher off the ground to prevent tripping when they went through the course while they were texting. So you're kind of, you know, you're taking the shorter strides and you're walking, you know, waiting for that step to come up and trip you.
Yeah, my husband just completely stops walking.
Yeah, when you're sitting there.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get a text for work or something, and we'll be walking, and I'll turn around, and he's just stopped.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
My dad would stop. We'd been Walmart with my dad. He'd get a call. He would stop and talk. I'm like, it's a mobile phone. You can keep walking, Dad.
Yeah, some people's brains just can't do two things at
once. What are you trying
to say? I'm saying that Hawk is very bad at that.
I'm horrible at it. Listen, I'm horrible at it here sometimes. But, you know, there's a lot of cities that have passed laws prohibiting people, and you would be fined if you are looking at your phone while crossing the street. And that's to cut down on injuries and stuff and people getting hit as they are walking across the street while they are texting.
I disagree, Cato. I think you should be allowed to do that. And if someone hits you, it's just not their fault.
Okay, I like that idea.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.